Here we go. Can you hear me?
Excellent. This is good line, yeah.
И такая это была сега эсера нашата линия, мистер Холопайнен. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Vasil. I'm doing really good.
You're in Germany right now. Not too hot up there?
No, I'm in Finland, actually.
Ah, you're in Finland. Той всъщност е в Финландия, аз мислех, че е в Германия, каза, че се чувства добре. It's very strange, because this is the first time that I talked to you after a show in Sofia that wasn't done by my radio. but still, how was it? It was the first time you played open air.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, the audience was really good. We felt ourselves a little bit outsiders because all the other bands, almost all the other bands, were American bands, except of the your local opener. But we had a good time, especially with the Biohazard guys. We had a, they actually thought that they are the weird guys on that bill. So.
Yeah. Попитах го, странно е, че говорим сега с теб след първия концерт на Аморфис в България, който не е правил от радио Танграм Егрок, но също така и първия, в който вие свирихте на открито. Как беше? Беше малко странно. Но публиката беше страхотна, но се чувствахме особено, защото бяхме единствената неамериканска група, с изключение, разбира се, и на бандата, която откри всичко това, но добре си изкарахме с Biohazard. Знаете, Biohazard също са група, която работи с Nuclear Blast. Те мислиха, че те са най-странната група там. Okay, but we're not here to talk about live shows. We are here to talk about this forthcoming new album of Amorphis. We only had the chance to listen to this first single of it. The album's called Under the Red Cloud, and the album, of course, is Death of a King. What is it, a guitar or a sitar, or what do you use there?
Well, it's electric sitar, which is basically a electric guitar, but it resonates in the way it has a hollow body and the bridge is made so that it resonates the strings, so it's electric sitar. I've been using that on several albums, but not that much than on this album.
Всъщност първата песен от този албум Death of a King, която познаваме много добре и всъщност е единствената, която излъчваме официално по радиото. Това какво е? Китара ли е или електрически ситар? Той каза електрически китар, ситар. Аз съм го използвал и преди, но не чак толкова много. It reminds me of it's approximately the same sound Aerosmith were using on the Nine Lives album, the one with the cats. That was called something of course. But I mean, I know that these things happen by coincidence on life. The other thing is that with a country like Bulgaria, with several years through the communist regime and the Russians, Under the Red Cloud sounds a bit symbolic, but knowing you, it's far from being in link with that. What is all about?
We actually thought about it ourselves. Didn't tell it to public, but when you know, Under the Red Cloud, it can be brought up today. You know, we are, as a Finland, as a Finnish people, we are living next to Under the Red Cloud, which is obviously Russia. But it has nothing to do with that. The Red Cloud is actually the name comes from American Indian chief, and our lyricist Pekka Kainulainen, who wrote the lyrics. When he was a kid, he was very inspired by this Indian chief as a character. So he wanted that name to appear somewhere in our lyrics, and the sort of a concept of this, the consensus of this whole album, it's about. It's about the times we are living. We are living under the red cloud, so everything is unsure. If you watch the news and everything, it's, you know, very unsure what is happening in future. And Pekka, our lyricist, he strongly believes that we are living very close to the apocalyptic world, so something really bad is going to happen.
Oh, but, fantastic!
Yeah.
What was the name of the Indian guy? The Red Cloud or Under the Red Cloud?
He is the Red Cloud.
Въпросът е този албум, който се казва Под червени облак. Ние тук в България, които толкова години живеем под комунистическия, натиския, съветския облак. Дали имат това предвид? Ние също си говорихме за това не пред медиите и публично, защото знаете, че Финландия живеем до червения съветски облак, но всъщност не става дума за един индиански вожд, червени облак, The Red Cloud, и авторът на нашите текстове, всъщност цялата концепция е свързана с това. Историята е супер песимистична, защото мислим, че бъдещето на човечеството е апокалипсис. It's funny, because last week we had Danny Field of Cradle of Field, and I asked him if he was optimistic about the future of the humankind. He only said absolutely not. I think we're totally fucked. So in that case, we should say that this is the last album by Amorphis, or you see the apocalypsis, the apocalyptic visions, not in the that very near future, probably in the distant future.
Hopefully not, but you know, it's good way, you know, how he describes how selfish world we are living in, and nobody really believes in anything nowadays. Just, you know, it seems that whenever you open a TV or watch the news, it's something bad is happening, and it has to change in a way, you know. It's no way that humans can continue living as we are at the moment, you know. It's horrible world of consumption and the waste of nature, what is happening. So if something doesn't change, I'm pretty sure that it will be apocalypse coming up, not necessarily when we are living, but you know, we should think about our kids and their next generations.
Това ще бъде последният албум на Amorphis, такъв случай казах аз, след като бъдещето е апокалиптично, или всъщност няма да се случи чак толкова скоро. Всъщност ясно е, каза той, че дори да не се случи сега, начинът, по който човешкият вид се отнася към Земята, към природата, а ние също така трябва да мислим и за следващите поколения, за нашите деца. Тук му казах, че миналата седмица говорихме с Дари Филд от Cradle of Field, и той каза, че не е оптимистичен за бъдещето на човешкия род. Вижте това интервю, има го в нашия сайт, и че сме тотално прецакари. Така или иначе, ясно е за какво говорим, че трябва нещо да се провери. Production-wise, you're working with that Swedish guy, Jens Bogren. Who did lots of Scandinavian stuff, but why? Why him?
Simply because we love a lot of albums what Jens done, and that was one of the things when we were starting to think about the producer for this album, was that you know, we want somebody that has done albums that we like, and well, obviously there is a lot of stuff what he has done in the past, and he's probably the most familiar with the Opeth albums, Ghost Reveries, Blackwater Park, several others what he's done. He's done amazing Catatonia albums as well, a couple of Paradise Lost albums, Amon Amarth, I guess all their albums. So he does a lot of, he produces a lot of music what we enjoy, and so what we, you know, feel close to, and we like to work with Swedish people. We've been working with Swedish guys with many albums, and I think that's basically it, you know. We just simply love what he's done,
well, fair enough, of course, no need to explain in a lot of words. Въпросът е, че Jens Bogren, знаменития швед, познавате го много добре, заради албумите на Opeth най-вече, ако искате, или пък заради работата му с Paradise Lost, Кататория, Ей Мона Марти и така нататък. Защо всъщност работихте с него? Ами защото всъщност, когато избирахме продуцент за този албум, каза Еса Холопайнен за новия албум на Морфис, искахме да имаме звук и общата атмосфера на албуми, които харесваме. Разбира се, Ghost Reveries на Opeth е албум, който страшно много харесваме. Изради също всичките тези групи, а и ние по принцип през годините обичаме да работим с шведи. Получава се много добре. I was so curious to hear that you guys are going on tour later on this year with your country mates of Nightwish. Well, I believe that we talked through the years about this. Is the reason because you guys share the same management company, or at least it used to be like this for years, or because we know also that Marco Hietala from Nightwish has been a big contributor for your previous records and through the years as well. Obviously, he's a good friend of yours. But isn't that a different scene from you guys are trying to do?
You know, for us it's a great chance to go out and perform in the venues that are like amazingly big, and hopefully some Nightwish fans or Arch Enemy fans, which are there as well, like our music. And it is a strong package, of course. But it's for us, it's a great opportunity. But the reasons are pretty much what you say. Yes, that's true. We used to be, when King Fu was still together, we used to be on the same management. And this is not actually the first time we had a plan to tour with Nightwish. Now it's just escalated to happen. They've asked us a couple times to join the tour, but I think we always felt like, you know, we want to do own tours and so on. But, you know, now that they ask, you know, we started to...
Is that Tommy Yeltsin barking on the back?
Sorry?
Is it Tommy Yeltsin barking on the back?
No, it's my dog, but it has familiar sound to this.
But it's not called Tommy Yeltsin.
No. No, it's not. This is a female dog.
Кучето, което лая отзад, всъщност е куче, не е певецът Томи Йолтен. Всъщност кучето не се казва Томи Йолтен, кучето Реса, женско куче. Попита го, добре, изненадващо е това турне през есента с Nightwish. Очевидно причините, дълги години ви имахте същия менеджмент. Освен това Марко Хиеттала, басистът на Nightwish дълги години, очевидно освен че е ваш близък приятел, работеше и като продуцент на вокални партии и така нататък. Но все пак не сте ли от различни сцени двете групи, макар и са народници? Всъщност така е, очевидните причини да направим това турне. Още повече, че от години насам Nightwish ни предлагат да го правим. СРС е случвало, но всъщност е една чудесна възможност, ако може. Това ясно е, че освен това в пакета с Яр Череби е една много сериозна комбинация от групи, но ако може и на Arch Enemy, и на Nightwish повече хора да достигнат до нашата музика, толкова по-добре. Speaking of Toby Yeltsin, a fashion question. What happened to the dreadlocks?
He just got bored with that. I think he's been thinking quite a lot about cutting his dreadlocks away, and now he did it. It became a little surprise to us as well, but I have to say his new presence fits him very well. He still has long hair, but he just got rid of his dreadlocks, you know.
Yeah, a swan with no dreadlocks is still a swan, right?
I think so, yeah. That doesn't change, and I think he, at least when I watch him now, he feels and he performs much easier way than with his tracks. Mm-hmm.
Last question is, you've been an avid consumer of music. What is the latest album that really impressed you? Not necessarily metal, of course.
I was really impressed by the Catatonia live album they released. They did this acoustic live release, mm-hmm. and I I have to say, I really like it. I like the band. I like the dark mood they have. But now when they did this acoustic performance, I think it's a brilliant and it's a very good release as well.
Попитах го всъщност кой е албумът, тъй като знаем, че Esa Holopainen е много енергичен консуматор на музика. Той каза, албумът, който го е впечатлил най-много напоследък, този акустичния концертен албум на Кататория, изключително добър, не само от тази меланхоличната страна, мрачната страна, но и по принцип. Окей, anything to add?
Well, hopefully you get hold of our album pretty soon, but I don't know, it's out until September, but hopefully you get some sneak peeks to play at radio, so and looking forward to coming to Bulgaria again, you know, it's great fans we have over there, so looking really forward.
Okay, man, so
hey,
it was a pleasure, and
it was a pleasure, Russell, thank you.
Say hello to the boys, as usual, and I'm sure they will see each other very, very, very soon.
Yes, I hope so too. Would be great.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vasil. Bye-bye.
Всъщност, разбира се, поговорихме и за изненадващото скъсяване на косата на певеца Томи Йолцен. Той премахна своите расти. Защо? Не знам, беше изненада и за самите нас, каза Еса, но пък е факт, че така му отива. Освен това, някакси му е и по-лесно, когато пее серата. Това беше Esa Holopainen, китаристът и основен мозък на Amorphis. Разбрахме се, че естествено съвсем скоро ще се видим в България, защото те тук имат много ферове и ние естествено сме от самото начало едни от тях.